Looking at Romans chapter 1, we subject is the wrath of God, and we saw last week that there are different aspects of God's wrath, and one is the wrath of abandonment, and I believe that's what Romans 1 is addressing, and I believe that's what we are under, not we as God's people, but we as a nation are under. In verse 24, wherefore, showing that this is a cause or an effect, and there's one thing that's very clear in Romans 1 is cause and effect. Wherefore, so there's an effect, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And see, that brings further wrath. And then in verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. That is, unto their natural affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so that's the cause of the next statement, God gave them over. God gave them up. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God does not cause them to do those things which are not convenient. God just gives them over to their own mindset. And the natural course is what is stated. So this facet of God's wrath is God turns his back upon a nation or a society or culture, and he leaves them to themselves. He leaves them to themselves. And they will then do those things that bring the further wrath of God, and you get caught in this cycle. And we see this aspect of God's wrath throughout the scriptures. Psalm 81, verses 11 and 12, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So, in response, so the first part, but my people would not hearken to my voice, they would none of me. That's the cause of the next statement. So I gave them up unto their own hearts. Then as a result of that, they walked in their own counsels. And when man walks in his own counsels, that's going to bring further wrath. That brings a progression of sin, which brings a progression of wrath. We also see this aspect of God's wrath in Proverbs chapter 1, begin reading with verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, and these things, this destruction, and distress are the result of their lifestyle. And when these things come upon you, then shall they call upon me. They use God as a fire escape. But I will not answer. And then they get mad at God. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Here's why God does this. They hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's a horrible thing. When God leaves a people to their own way and to be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of the evil. Hosea 4, verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him go. That's this aspect of God's wrath, a wrath of abandonment. Jesus made reference to it in Matthew 15, verse 14, speaking of the Pharisees. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Let them alone. Let them go their way. So this wrath of abandonment. Again, we're talking about upon a nation. This being left to self is seen throughout history. It is certainly seen in the biblical record. Paul said in Acts 14, verse 16, who in times past, speaking of God, suffered or permitted all nations to walk in their own ways. The result of that is when man walks in his own ways, it leads him further from God, further down the path of sin. God's wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness, against all ungodliness. These men will try to restrain truth in their unrighteousness. God's wrath is revealed. And it's just a vicious cycle. And you get to a point, history proves this, you get to a point of no return. As a nation, as a society. Because once they're in this cycle, they just keep going further and further and further from God. You take, my wife and I were discussing this week. She said, I remember you preaching that 20 years ago and people coming up to you and giving you a hard time about it. I said, yeah, I remember that. I said, once homosexuality is accepted, bestiality follows. And then the abuse of children. I mean, there's no stopping it. It just keeps going and going and going. And I preached that at a conference, again, 20, 25 years ago. And one of the preachers came up to me and said, now, you are making homosexuality and bestiality the same thing. I said, no, I'm not. I'm saying one leads to the acceptance of another. You accept one, you will eventually accept the other, because that's the course of sin. That's how sin works. And that's also how the wrath, God's wrath of abandonment works. So we want to look at this, a society under the abandoning wrath of God. That's what we are as a nation. Now, in this, it's no accident that we've been placed in this time, and as Brother Larry was just talking about, we need to be a witness. We need to tell people the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. They need to be told. And it's stated here, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So God, is God presently revealing his wrath? Or is wrath simply on the horizon going to be revealed? I believe it's both. We are presently, as a nation, under this wrath of abandonment, and there is a wrath of destruction coming. There is a cataclysmic wrath on the horizon because of sin. But God is presently revealing his wrath, and there are very few who even realize it, because all he does is let us go our own way as a nation. And you see the results. Watch the news. Watch political news. Listen to the politicians. What they are saying is a result of a people that has been left and have been given over to a reprobate mind. The wrath of God is not simply something in the future. We've heard it preached for decades. God will pour his wrath down upon the United States because of homosexuality. I agree. But what you have to realize is that homosexuality is the result of God's wrath. It is God leaving a people, giving them over to a reprobate mind. Homosexuality is the result of the wrath of God, which will lead to a further cataclysmic wrath of God. So yes, there is a future wrath coming. But don't overlook that there is a present wrath being revealed right now. And we as a nation are under that wrath. We are under that abandoning wrath of God. So God's wrath is present, and God's wrath is coming. It is future. So the consequence of God's present wrath is future wrath. That's a terrible cycle to be in. The present and future wrath of God. So God's wrath is present, God's abandoning wrath, and as a nation, what we're doing as a nation and a society is we're storing up more wrath by the result of being given over. Man goes further from God, and in doing so, he's storing up the future wrath of the Lord. So God's wrath is continually proceeding from heaven, and God's impending wrath is on the horizon. God is going to destroy America with his wrath. Well, man destroys himself, and God, just taking his hands off, man destroys himself. So we learn from Romans 1 that God's wrath is real, that God's wrath is active today, that God's wrath is openly displayed. And from the text in Romans 1, we see that the consequence of man's sin is God's wrath. And the two combined, man's sin and God's wrath, result in a downward spiral that there's almost no end to. So it's made clear in Romans 1 that moral collapse will not only bring God's wrath, but moral collapse is the judgment of God. It is the judgment of the Lord. So each consequence of sin is a further reason or further cause of God's wrath. And again, this is a cycle. It's stated in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, concerning the tribe of Issachar, that they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And it is of extreme importance that we, as the people of God, have an understanding of the times in which we live. And we do not, if we do not understand the times in which we live, we get these false hopes. Oh, if we can get this man elected, the whole country will turn around. No, it won't. You have to understand the cycle that you're in. Yes, there may be a reprieve, but you have to understand the cycle you're in. There's no historical evidence, there's no biblical evidence that a nation who has gone as far away from God as we have, that they ever come back. But somehow people are so self-righteous that they think, well, we're the exception. No, we're not. The United States is not going to be the exception. You look all through history, and nations get in this cycle, and it's over. As far as a moral nation. So it's of extreme importance that we understand. We understand that we live in the last days. Every child of God uses those terms. We're in the last days. Few understand what that means, but yes, we are in the last days, and the last days are perilous. And in the last days, we read that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And why is that? That's a result of the wrath of God. That's a result of sin. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Does that mean they become more totally depraved? You can't get more than total. Totally depraved. Man is totally depraved. Man is not more sinful in his nature than he ever was. But man is more sinful in his practice than he was, and the result, and that is the result of God's abandoning wrath. God just takes his hands off. Says, go ahead. Go your way. Do it your way. It would be much better for man if God were to just, man goes so far and God just destroys him. Boom. But that's not how God operates. He does sometimes, but sometimes he just takes his hand off and says, go ahead. And therefore, seducers wax worse and worse. They do think their sinful practice becomes more and more. And it's all around us. Again, man's no more depraved than he ever was in nature. But his practice is certainly more sinful. And we see that was in Genesis 6. Imaginations were only evil continually. That is, they just kept getting worse and worse. And eventually, God sent the flood. Deceiving and being deceived. So they're deceivers. They deceive others and they themselves are deceived. And that's why you can honestly say, you can listen to someone talk, you can listen to a politician, you can say, he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, or she. And that's true. That is true. Because they are deceiving. And they are being deceived. Two things going on. And the reason that all this is so, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, is explained here in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 explains it. So we know from observation that our country, our society, our culture is becoming more and more wicked in practice. And as they do, they become more and more mired in wickedness by the day. By tomorrow, it'll be worse. By Tuesday, it'll be worse. By Wednesday, it'll be worse. That's the cycle. That's the cycle that we are in. We are to be a remnant. We are to be a light in this cycle. We're not to get caught up in that cycle. And from the pattern or cycle set forth in Romans 1, again, we're able to get a better grasp of what is happening and why it's happening. What is happening and why it's happening. And again, what is made so clear in Romans 1 is cause and effect. Cause and effect. It's almost in every verse, from verse 18 through the end of the chapter, cause and effect. And the progression of cause and effect. And we have a generation that has no mental conception of cause and effect. They don't understand. I do this, and this is going to happen. But what they do is, I do this, and this happens, and now I'm mad at everybody else because they're mistreating me. They don't have a clue about cause and effect. And then mom and dad come along and say, oh, you're right, little Johnny. You're being mistreated. You're being mistreated. People don't understand you. You're special. Yeah, they're special. They do not understand cause and effect. They do not understand consequences. And we have a whole society that way. But Romans 1 makes it very clear that there is cause and effect. And this is seen throughout the chapter in verse 19, Romans chapter 1. There's some words that show us cause and effect. Verse 19, because. That's showing us cause and effect. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Verse 26, for this cause. By the way, that means the same thing as because. So we have because twice, and now we have for this cause. And then you go down to verse 24, and you have wherefore. Wherefore God. So all of these words show us the progression of cause and effect. And it is a progression in a downward way, in a spiral. And it is also seen in the fact that there are three exchanges made in Romans chapter 1. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. They changed. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You see, there's an exchange made. They do away with truth, they bring in lies. That's an exchange that is made. And that exchange is going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect. It's going to have a result. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change. They've made an exchange. They've made a trade. The natural use under that which is against nature. They willfully made this exchange. And the progression just continues and continues. And one of the worst mistakes that we as God's people can make is, well, we just need to try and understand. We need to try and understand them. I don't have a problem understanding. It's sin. It's not a difficult thing. But what they mean by that, we have to try to understand, is we have to learn to adapt. We have to learn to accept what they're doing. That's baloney. You never want to get in that mindset where I need to try to accept what God rejects. Because if you do that, you have now entered that cycle. You've become a part of the cycle. And we as God's people are never to become a part of that cycle. We're the solution to the cycle. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We do thank you, Lord, for how merciful you are to us as a people, even as a nation. Lord, we thank you for all the years that you've allowed us to live in this country. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be the testimonies that we ought to be the light that we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to know what we believe, why we believe it, and, Lord, be able to present it and defend it against any other philosophy. Lord, we just pray that you'd meet with us today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, and we pray that you'd meet with us. We do pray for the unsaved, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you'd open their hearts, that you'd impart life into their souls this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.